Well, again, happy Mother's Day this morning. Can everybody hear me okay? We're trying out a new mic. Everything okay? Sound all right? Not blowing anybody out of their seat, Emma. Sounds a little hot this morning, but that's all right. I like to get a little loud when I preach, so when you put me with a loud microphone, it gets even louder. So, but anyways, happy Mother's Day. Corbin touched on it this morning, and I appreciate those words. It was on my heart this morning to say almost the exact thing that he was talking about, and it was this. Instead of a lot of times we say, I told Jenny, I said, happy Mother's Day, honey. Blake went up to her this morning and said, oh, it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. And I said, but why are we thankful for our mothers? And sometimes we forget that we need to really to honor our mother. And we talked about this in the quest for authentic manhood. You know, sometimes we need to honor our parents. We need to vocalize things to our parents. So I want to encourage you today, tell your mom if you're able, or tell that person in your life that was your mom. Let me grab that. Why you're thankful for them. Why are you thankful for your mother today? Why are you thankful for her? List some reasons out and say, this is why I'm thankful for you today. So this morning, we're not going to preach necessarily a Mother's Day message. I'm going to talk about my grandmother a little bit today and her kitchen and how blessed I was by it. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to continue in our study of Matthew. We're going to keep going line by line and verse by verse through this. And the title of the sermon, if you're a note taker this morning, is A Little Goes a Long Ways. A little goes a long way. As you're finding Matthew chapter 13 in your Bible, we're just going to be in verse 33 through 35. I have to start out by saying thank you for those who shared their testimony to Charlotte Lane and Scott Thacker, who shared their testimonies last week. It was amazing. It was powerful. I got to listen to Charlotte's message while I was in the back seat riding home from the beach. I started losing service, and I had to listen to Scott's on our podcast, so I'm thankful that we have that. But man, it was something great. Always happens when we become willing and even excited to share what God is doing and has done in our life. Amen? Revelations 12, verse 11 says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This is how we overcome this world. This is how we overcome the devil, the evil in our life and the evil in this world. Each day that's in our face every day, instead of sharing the gossip, instead of sharing the political garbage and all that stuff, we should be sharing about what Jesus has done for us individually and what he's doing in our lives and what we think he's going to continue to do. Maybe stories and testimonies of what God has done and his faithfulness that we've experienced. This is where we get to experience what I believe that Scott and Charlotte got to experience last week. They got to lay their head on the pillow that night when they went to sleep, knowing that they did what God told them to do, knowing that they did something with eternal value last Sunday. And the really awesome thing is that we never really know what kind of impact the Lord and the Holy Spirit used because of your faithfulness and your testimony that you shared. Even when we feel nervous, even when we maybe don't speak as smooth as we had planned, even when I sing in the wrong key and my guitar falls over, right? Even when maybe I forget something, or I had something in my notes that I was going to preach, or I had something in my notes, my testimony that I didn't say, God will use it to impact others. The Holy Spirit will use it to impact others. All because we were willing to trust and simply obey and share our testimony. So be ready, because I believe we're going to start, this is going to be the new norm. So I believe God wants to use more people to share their testimony. So be open to that. If God is calling you, come and see me and we'll make it happen. Amen. Well, today as we get back in Matthew chapter 13, this passage today ties right into the idea of being used by God and what it means to really be used by God. Jesus teaches, we've been going through these parables. He uses this parable, the parable of the yeast, to show us that a little bit goes a long way. So let's read Matthew chapter 13, verse 33 through 35. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in three measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Jesus used the stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfills what God had spoken through the prophet. I speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, that we won't be distracted by the noise and the wind like I'm distracted this morning. We won't be distracted by the wind knocking over guitars and me reading the wrong words because my brain's going 90 miles an hour. Oh God, that we would just focus on your Spirit this morning. Lord, that you would remove those distractions from us this morning. We may listen to what you have to say. That we would not listen to the distractions. We would listen to you. God, there's somebody here today that needs to hear your words. Your word from your living word. But the words that you have laid on my heart to speak today. God, I just pray that they would receive that. That I would receive it this morning. And that you would work. And there would be more testimonies about what you have done in lives. Of the result of us just simply doing the will of God and listening to your word and preaching your word and striving to be your church here at Fork Union Baptist Church. Lord, we love you and we praise you again. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, before we really get into this message this morning, I want to take us back just a few Sundays ago. Matthew chapter 13. I'm trying not to be distracted by that, but I know it's got to be distracting y'all. Can y'all hear me all right? Okay. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 through 17. Let me see if I can use this mic here. How's that? That a little better? All right. We're going to work through it this morning. Go back to Matthew 13, and you can look. It should be right there, maybe on the next page over, verse 10 through 17. If you remember, this is where the disciples, they were asking Jesus, why do you teach in these parables? Why do you do this? And maybe you remember, maybe in case you weren't here, we're going to just give you real quick those little points that we went through. Because if you're like me, you probably just forget. A lot of times somebody will say, man, your message was great on Sunday or whatever. Your message was powerful or whatever. And I'm like, I can't even remember what I preached. All right. And so I'm going to go through this. Jesus explains why he taught in these parables. He said what? Number one, he said it was for true believers to be able to understand. It was something he reserved for those who had spiritual understanding. And number two, his teachings were in those parables were for actually for those who sought after the truth. I want to tell you something this morning. If you come to a church service and you want to hear from God and the preacher, no matter whether it's me or somebody else, no matter whether it's a young, cool pastor or an old, crusty pastor, somebody who's snappy with his words and smooth at speech, somebody who is boring, it doesn't matter. If they're preaching from God's word and you came wanting to hear from God, you're going to hear from God. But if you came with a hardened heart and you don't have a heart to hear and receive his words, ears to really listen, you're going to leave the same way you came. So no matter how good or bad the sermon is, Jesus taught in these parables for those actually who were willing to listen, open up their mind and their heart and listen to the truth. Number three, the parables were not for those who refused to open their heart and their ears for the truth of the gospel. And number four, if they really seek to believe and they seek after God, we found out that we were blessed and we begin to understand things that once were hidden from us because we had that spiritual understanding. We start to get a little bit of knowledge of God and we begin to see things that we were blind to before. And this, along with the fact that Jesus told us just right here in the scripture that we read this morning, he was fulfilling prophecy. That's just why he taught in parables. So why am I telling you this again this morning? Well, I'm telling you this because the main focus of the message that God has laid on my heart this week is just in verse 33. So focus on verse 33 and look at that this morning. I feel like God wants us to focus on the parable itself this week and not the reason again for why he teaches in parables. So let's read verse 33 again and we're going to break it down. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in three measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. So the first thing that I want to note before we really start breaking down this scripture is that yeast is mostly used in the scripture to point out the evil, to illustrate the evil in our lives or maybe in the world or in our heart. Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "Watch out," Jesus warned them. "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." He was warning them of the evil of religious ceremonies and all the things that we are hardened hearts. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, Paul writes this. He says, "Your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a yeast, a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough?" Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough." So if you're familiar with the Bible, you might associate yeast with the evil things in our life. If you're familiar with it, if you spend any time reading the Word, a lot of times when I think about yeast, a little bit of yeast infecting the dough or affecting the dough, I think about it as sin. But I believe that here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus is using the yeast of this parable and this parable to symbolize the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's the exact words the Bible just said. See, for a minute here, y'all thought that I was extra spiritual and that I was smart. Okay, but it's just exactly what Jesus said. Some people still think that he's talking about sin, but he says the kingdom of God is like, and there's no evil in the kingdom of God. So to me, it's plain. So I believe that he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's look at the characters in this parable, and I'm going to point out to you why I believe that. Number one is the woman. So the woman, who is she? She represents you and me. She represents the church. Okay? Number two, the yeast is the second character. It represents the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel message of Christ. And number three, we have the flower. And I believe this represents the world. It represents our lives as well. So now that we understand, hopefully, what Jesus is talking about and who these characters are in the Word, I want to point out three main things, and this is where we're going to focus for the sermon, that I believe the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is like this yeast. Number one is this, and we're going to jump right into it. Yeast has to be deliberately added to the other ingredients to be put into the dough. In this parable, Jesus says this. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread." So here's this woman actively working in the kitchen, adding the ingredients, making this, she's going to bake this bread. And she showed us that what we are called to do in this world is when we're active making, we're supposed to be active parts of making bread. She didn't just show up to the kitchen once a week and turn the oven on. She had to get the yeast out of her pantry. She had to go get the flour. She had to go get the oil and the other ingredients, and she had to mix them all together, actively work and put them into the ingredients. You see, before the Pillsbury Doughboy took over the market, there was more to making bread than just heating the oven to 400 degrees. Amen? Does anybody remember that? I remember the first time I went to my grandmother's house and I said, "Man, Grandma, your biscuits are good." This was just a few years ago. She said, "Oh, well, these are just the frozen ones." And it broke my heart. I was like, "What? Even my grandmother's buying the frozen biscuits? Oh, they're still really good." But I remember walking into my grandmother's house as a child and seeing her roll out that dough on the countertop. And all the flour would be there, and she'd be kneading it and rolling it out. But what I never saw and I never understood is all the prep work that happened behind the scenes before we got to her house on Sunday afternoon after church for that dinner. For those, anybody had those homemade yeast rolls with the shiny butter on top? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You see, she deliberately had to put the yeast into the other ingredients. Most likely, she got up early that morning, or maybe even the night before, went to her pantry, she got the yeast, and she began letting it activate in the water and putting it into the ingredients so we could come enjoy it. This is what each of us are called to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to add the yeast into the lives of others, not so we can just be called good Christians. That's not what it's all about. But because we want to share what we hopefully have in our life and in our heart. Maybe the joy that we have, the peace that we have, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Maybe that purpose in life that only comes when we have we get to experience what a personal relationship with Christ is really like. With our Creator in heaven. John chapter 1 verse 12 says this, "But to all who believe in Him and accept Him, He gives the right to become children of God." I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I have the right to be called the child of God. Amen? Not because what I have done, because of what Christ has done. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs in Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Did you know that, church, that us collectively as a church should also be doing the same thing? We should be adding yeast of the gospel of Jesus Christ into our society, into our community. And I believe we've been doing that. But we can't get complacent. We have to say, what's next? What can we do next? And we're not going to stop. We're not going to give up. I don't care whether it's persecution. I don't care whether it's politicians or a pandemic. Three P's for you there. And we're not going to let stop the church, right? We don't stop. Nothing can stop the church of Jesus Christ. You see, we serve a higher authority in this life. We serve a higher authority than the authority of this world. That's what Jesus told Pilate when he was standing before him, right? He was like, look, dude, my kingdom ain't of this world. And sometimes we forget that we are, even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. And we're fueled by a power, the same power that overcomes death, that brought Jesus out of the tomb on that first Easter morning. Think about that, church. We forget that we are fueled by a power that overcomes the grave. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So you see, the first thing we have to do is be willing to go out into the world and to add a little bit of yeast and to add a little bit of the gospel into the lives of others and into the world in which we live and to the world where we are placed and where we live in our community, or maybe even to go out beyond that and to go share the gospel. So that's the first way that the kingdom of God is like yeast. Number two is this. Yeast is added to an unfinished product. See, sometimes we forget that too, that yeast is added to the unfinished flour. If yeast is the gospel and flour is the world, that means that our role is to mix the gospel into an unfinished and an imperfect world, an imperfect church. And since the church, we remember and we're reminded when we're outside like this, the church isn't the building that's behind me. The church is you and the church is me. So if we are the church, that means the church is imperfect as well. Amen? Now, can I tell you something that might help you in your search for the perfect church this morning? Here's your help. There isn't one. All right? There is no perfect church. Why? Because the church is made up of imperfect people. So if you're one of those people who you've just been struggling and you find something wrong with one church and you go to the next church and then you go to the next church and you say, well, I don't like somebody there, offended me, whatever. You're going to be church hopping for the rest of your life because there is no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor. I know that's a shocker for y'all. But see, when my grandmother made those delicious rolls, she didn't keep the yeast separate from the flour. She didn't put it just in one area of the flour, her favorite area, the most comfortable area, the easiest to get to area. No, the yeast was put right in the middle of that unfinished flour. The gospel, the yeast, if you will, is to be placed in the midst of this imperfect world. It's to be put right in the heart of this imperfect body of believers. You see, all it takes is just a little bit of yeast, and it affects the entire batch of dough. See, this is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Here's three quick things that we need to know before we go on to the third thing that we identify this yeast with the kingdom of God. A is this. If you're here today and you'll just allow just a little bit of the gospel into your life, maybe you're not ready to totally surrender. Maybe you're thinking, man, God, I don't know. There's so much I need to figure out. God's asking you this morning, just let a little bit of the yeast into your flour this morning. Let a little bit of the gospel truth into your life. Eventually, you know what it'll do? It'll grow you and it'll start taking over. You can't help but to take over, and it will lead you into a changed life. B is this. Once we are changed by the gospel, we are to mix it into the world. We're to take it out and live it and actually walk it, even if it's just a little bit. We say, God, how can I be faithful to you today? What can I share with someone today? At your workplace, maybe at the ball field. How about this? In your home, mix in some life in a world full of death and decay. Mix in some life wherever you're planted. Mix in the light and the love of Jesus. Let your Jesus light shine. Right, Lauren? Where are you at this morning? She's somewhere out there. Oh, she's in the nursery. Lauren, that's your quote. Let your Jesus light shine. Each day we continue to mix this yeast with the flour so it can go to work. It can kick into action and start permeating all of it. See, a little bit goes a long way. This is what we need to know. No matter how much you know about the Bible, no matter how much you don't know about the Bible, no matter how long you have or haven't been a Christian, no matter how unequipped you feel, there is no excuse for doing nothing. All right, y'all listening to me this morning? Because this is something I was convicted of this morning. There is no excuse that we can go before God with for doing nothing with the gospel message. There is no excuse that God wants to hear. Go back and look throughout the Bible. Look at Moses. Oh, man, he tried them all, didn't he? Oh, God, I can't do that. I'm a wanted man back there. I can't go. I don't speak well. And what did God say? He said, get up and you go back down there and you tell Pharaoh to set my people free. God wants you to go out into the world and stop making excuses and say, God wants to set you free. Listen what he did to my life. Listen what he's doing to my life. Listen to what let me tell you what he's starting to do in my life and the things that I'm starting to see. Instead of, well, I can't do that. God, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. God, I sinned this week, so I can't do it. You see, there is no excuse for doing nothing. This makes me think again of Charlotte and Scott, not to keep putting you guys in the spotlight this morning. But they simply shared their story with the whole world. Did y'all know that we've had people tune in and that watch our services as far as England? Okay, we've had people that have watched our services online from Zimbabwe. Pastor friends of mine that we've ministered alongside, maybe even Uganda. I know we've got followers all the way in India, even this foreign land called California. Have you ever heard of that place? That was a joke. Sorry. But this makes me think of my brother in Christ who shared last week from Canada, Glenn, who shared his story with us last week, right? He simply shared what God is doing in his life. And that's how simple it is. We just have to be willing to take it out and do that. We should have to work harder at not sharing. Listen to this, church. We should have to work harder at not sharing than we do of making excuses of why we can't share. So we should be going through life saying, oh, God, I've already told this guy about Jesus. He's going to think I'm weird. I don't know if I should overdo this. Maybe I need to be quiet for a minute. I've been talking about Jesus all day. We should have to work harder at not sharing about what Christ is doing than we do at building up the courage to go out and share. You don't believe me? Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 20. This was in the early church. It says, we can't stop telling everything we've seen or heard. They couldn't stop telling about it. Everywhere they went, they said, we can't stop telling all the things that we've heard and we've seen. Because a little bit goes a long way. We are to add the gospel into this unfinished and imperfect world. And in the imperfect church and be a part of it, an active role. So the third and final way the kingdom of God is like yeast is this. Yeast transforms the flour. It's never the same when the yeast gets mixed in with the flour. Bread without yeast is called what? It's called flat bread, right? It's flat, it's dry, it's often very hard and not very nourishing to eat. Now, sometimes you can, you know, I've been to India and they eat the naan, is what they call it, that buttered flat bread. I'm going to tell you, that's delicious. But if you went and just tried to make a loaf of bread without putting yeast in it, it would be dry, crumbly, and just terrible to eat. But the yeast, when we mix it in, it transforms the bread into an entire new creation. In fact, it does four things for the dough. Number one is this. It makes the dough soft. It's no longer dry and it's no longer hard. This is what the gospel does in our heart, church. This is what the gospel has done in your pastor's heart and is doing every day when I allow it in my heart. We become softer towards the Lord. We start listening and we hear God's voice and we say, oh, yes, God, I'm open to hear what you want. It's no longer about me. We start getting softer to hear what the Lord wants us to say or wants us to do or maybe what he wants us to hear. And it makes us softer and more aware of the needs of those around us. You see, oftentimes we look before Christ. It's all about me. It's all about what can the church do for me? What can people do for me? But when you let the yeast of the gospel into your life, you suddenly start to say, you say, man, God, there's more to this. Thank you for what you've done for me. What can I do for somebody else? Number two, yeast makes the bread moist and it makes it porous. This is what the gospel does in the heart of a believer. Our heart is able to soak up more and more of the word of God. When we listen to the word of God, we say, oh, God, it just starts soaking it up. And all of a sudden, these parables start making sense to us. And the word of God starts making sense to us. Our hearts become porous and moist, making it perfect environment for growth. This reminds me of the seed, of the parable of the seed and the farmer scattering the seeds. He talks about our heart as like that garden or that soil. Same thing if it was bread. It becomes moist and it soaks up. Anybody ever sopped up any gravy with a biscuit? I mean, I know I'm making y'all hungry this morning. It's because the bread has the yeast in it, and it's porous, and it's open up, it's moist. And when you run it across your plate, anybody else had to clean their plate with their roll or their biscuit? That's what I like to do. That's what your pastor likes to do. It's because the bread is moist and it's porous, making it a perfect environment to soak up more and more of God. It makes it a perfect environment for more fruit to be produced in our lives because our heart is soaking up the truth from God's word. Number three, yeast makes the bread satisfying. All of a sudden, it's not just dry and crumbly. And you ever had those communion bread things that we have sometimes? You're like, ah, it like soaks up all the spit in your mouth. It's because it's flat bread. It's unleavened bread. The yeast makes the bread satisfying. Again, this is what the gospel does in our lives. Instead of us walking through life with no purpose, instead of us living life and never really feeling satisfied with ourselves, satisfied with our life, satisfied with who God made us to be and our purpose in life, the gospel will transform your heart. That's the purpose of the gospel. Giving you hope, giving you purpose, giving you joy, giving you contentment like you've never experienced before. Lastly, yeast makes the bread nourishing. The yeast of the gospel does the same thing in our life. It not only gives us purpose, but it inspires us and fuels us to feed and nourish those around us. You see, once we are truly transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, once we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, if we believe that and we really receive that truth, that God tells us, that Jesus told us the Advocate was coming to be our helper and to fill us, so you become able to share with others the truth that you have found. It doesn't matter how much or how little you know about it. I think about the blind man. Does anybody remember the blind man that Jesus healed? And he went back to his family and said, well, how did he do this? He said, I have no idea. All I can tell you is I used to be blind. I went and saw this guy named Jesus, and now I can see. That is the best testimony in the whole Bible. I love it. He says, I can't explain it. I can just tell you what happened in my life. I was blind and now I see. See, part of being transformed, part of being a Christ follower, is that I no longer only seek to nourish myself, but I desire to see others nourished and to have what I have found as well. So as we close, I just want to ask you these two questions this morning. We're going to close with these simple two questions. Number one is this. Have you allowed the yeast of Jesus Christ to enter into your unfinished flour? Have you allowed the yeast of Jesus Christ to enter into your life this morning? That's a serious question that we need to ask this morning. And if so, number two, have you become active in putting that yeast of the gospel into others' lives?
into the church? Are you an active member serving in the church and wanting to do your part to go reach the world or reach our society? You know, I'm not a baker, and I have little to no knowledge of how to do anything in a kitchen other than burn stuff and heat stuff up in the microwave, and I can make a pretty good cup of coffee in my Keurig. But that's as far as it goes. But I did just a little bit of research this week on YouTube, and what I learned was this, that yeast is actually a single cell living organism. It's alive. And when it's soaked in the water, it wakes up the yeast. The yeast starts to come alive. Church, listen this morning. We need to be soaking ourselves in the Word of God. We need to be soaking ourselves in prayer. We need to be soaking ourselves in the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ and what it brings and what it wants to do in our life. Because just like the yeast is alive, so is Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says right now that God, that Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's not still in the grave. He is alive and seated at the right hand of God on the throne. Just like the yeast is alive, so is the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible tells us what? It's a living Word of God. It's everlasting. Other things will fade away, but the Word of God will never fail. It'll never die. It is alive, and it wants to go to work in our life. We need to wake up, church. Sometimes we need to wake up. We need to let ourselves soak a little bit in God's truth. We need to let ourselves soak a little bit in the Word of God. We need to let ourselves soak in God's prayer and in a relationship with God and just bask in His goodness and say, God, I love You this morning. Your faithful love endures forever. We need to wake up because somebody needs to hear the truth of the gospel that God has put in your life. Somebody here this morning needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and what God wants for you. And that His faithful love endures forever. So again, I ask you, have you allowed the yeast of the gospel of Jesus Christ to enter your heart today and to start working in your life? And if so, have you taken that command that Jesus gave us before He ascended into heaven, and have you taken it out into the world? Because remember, a little bit goes a long ways. A little bit goes a long way. If God is working on you this morning, and if you want to, maybe you want to share what God has done this week, we got plenty of time. We got a microphone that works. The guitar can't fall over and distract you. That's already happened. If God is doing something in your life this morning, and you're ready to make a decision, or maybe God is convicting you of something that you want to share with everybody else and say, you know what, God has challenged me right now when we've been sitting here going through His Word, then I need to go out and I need to be a witness. Maybe there's somebody else that needs to see you step up and say, you're going to accept that challenge and you're going to do it. Whatever God is doing in your life, and if you need prayer, whatever it is, that's what this time of invitation is for. So I just pray. I pray with all of my soul that you would just simply obey this morning and listen to what God has you to do. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love You this morning. Lord, we lift our hands in worship this morning. To the King of Kings, we thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, when we just let a little bit in, oh Lord, it affects the whole body and the whole heart and our whole mind if we will just allow it. Lord, help us this week. Help us to let the gospel message that there's a God who created us, who has a purpose for us, and who loves us enough that even though we were sinners, gave His Son to die, Lord, so that we may have eternal life and peace and joy even while we live in this broken world. God, help us to remember that it's not just for us to get into heaven. It's not just for us to be satisfied and to be transformed. Lord, it's for us to go share with a dying and struggling and hurting world that is right beside us every day at work, right beside us at our neighbor's house, right beside us in the grocery store. God, I just pray that You would open our eyes and our hearts, that we may go out and spread a little bit of the yeast into the flour this week. Lord, that other lives would be transformed, not because of what the pastor does, but because of what the church is doing. Lord, we love You. Again, we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.